today, Papa George.
Oh, how he loves you and me. We can sing it together. Oh, how he loves you and me. What more could he do? Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. I'll try to get the words right this time, but let's sing it together. Loves you and me. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more? How he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me and me. Your presence, O Lord, today is in this house. And we thank you for everything that's happened so far. For the beautiful song that spoke of finding you and you finding us. I pray, Lord, that every heart would be touched today through the worship, through the fellowship, through the word. Remind us today, oh Lord, if we may have forgotten how much you love us. Pray this in that most beautiful name, the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Well, God bless you. I was told a number of years ago that preaching is doing one of two things. It's declaring or teaching or preaching something to someone that they did not know. Or it is telling someone something that they may have forgotten. So let me go ahead and give you a heads up this morning. I'll not tell you anything this morning that you did not already know. You learned it in a Sunday school class that Kevin was talking about. And now here we are today, many years later, still basking in the love of Jesus Christ. So I will speak on a subject that everyone has already heard. So if you don't like to repeat third grade, you may be dismissed and go join the children in the children's church. But if you'd like to go back to square one, that's where we're headed this morning. God loves us. 1,000 songs will be sung across cathedrals and storefront sanctuaries, talking about how God loves us. 10,000 poems will be penned, trying with all of their efforts to talk about and tell us about love. You see, you can't see it with your eyes, hold it in your hand, but like a wind, it covers our land. Strong enough to move the heart of any man, this thing called love. It can lift you up. It never lets you down. Take your world and turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found that's stronger than love. Mary Easterlin is with her precious friend this morning, I suppose. It was just a couple of 3 weeks ago that we stood in the sanctuary. This is a sanctuary, that's the lobby. And I shared with her something that had happened earlier in that week. I was at a baseball game down in Columbia watching Crayman catch, pitch, and hit. And I suppose he is the greatest that was ever there. After a victory, headed for the car, and this gentleman walked up to me, shook my hand. We talked for maybe 45 seconds. And as he turned to leave, he said, "I love you." Well, I'm started feeling pretty good about that time. People love me that don't even know me. And I hollered back at him, "Well, I love you more." As I got in the car to head back to Winsboro, I was thinking about this thing called love. I don't know what his definition is. I don't know what his idea of love is, but it goes so much deeper. So what I was thinking love was the woman that's gonna meet me at the door with a cold Dr. Pepper and a honey bun and something that says, "I still love you." That's love. And as we continue our journey, we're in our 48th year. Let me show you what it looked like when she told me, "I love you," for the first time. Oh, he had hair. He had only one chin. Pretty teeth. It's easy to love a guy like this. But 48 years later, she's still saying, "I love you," to this. That was a selfie that I made before I put my makeup on this morning. So what is love to you? Love grows and grows and grows through the years. Have you ever heard somebody tell you, "I love you more today than I did yesterday"? But let me tell you what is even more fabulous than the woman that I've loved for 48 years telling me, "I love you." Because she's seen me on my best, but she's also seen me on my worst. The flaws, the shortcomings, sin. Glenn Futch was so kind to drive me to that funeral yesterday, and Alexandra and then Kevin met us and drove us back. So I'm in the back seat, and I had to go in and apologize to this woman that says, "I love you" all the time to me. I believe she means it. But I was trapped. Glenn wouldn't get it in park so he could push the button and get me out. I felt like I was in a pen. I couldn't get out. And I've already called Shirley, said, "I'm needing you to come help me." And she's standing there waiting, and she can't get in. And I'm saying, maybe in a louder voice, "Get me out of here." And I called Kayla. Kayla happened to be standing there. And then I found her this morning and said, "Kayla, that wasn't me last night. My feet were swollen. I was hurting. I was tired. I wanted to get out of that car." And because people love you, they forgive you. But even greater than that one that has walked beside you in life for all your life is the one that knows you better than you know yourself. There's someone who has been listening to every conversation of my life. He's the one that has followed me with his GPS, listening to every conversation, watching and observing all my comings and goings. And yet, after all of that, he says, "George, I love you." And that is almost beyond my comprehending. If we're listening today, he's whispering. He's whispering to the ears of our soul, "I love you." So if you may have forgotten, if life may have become so cluttered and so filled that we have simply, the love of God has been blurred, I've come to remind you. Everybody say, "Remind me, Lord." Just reminding you that his love for you has never wavered. and unforgettable truth is God's unconditional love is for all mankind. For God so loved the world. Cecil Greenway pastored in Tupelo many, many years ago, and he told me of one of his neighboring pastors, Brother George Hill from Nettleton. Delane, those are two names that you would remember. Brother Hill at that wonderful church down at Nettleton, for 52 weeks, 52 Sundays one year, that was his scripture that he preached from. For God so loved the world. And after that year of preaching from John 3:16, he said, I felt so frustrated. I had failed in fully describing and defining the power of God's love. He felt that he had not adequately covered this powerful, powerful foundational truth. Asking each of you today that may be wondering, well, does anybody love me? And would you imagine with me as Christ, the one from Calvary, walks between the pews, touching, reaching, embracing? Do yourself a favor, if there is any doubt in your mind today about how much he loves you, would you take that hand and pry it open? And when you see the scars, you will know God so loved the world. I've learned a lot about God simply from his word. All of us are in constant quest of more of him, more knowledge of his attributes, his character, his love, his deity. So he speaks these truths to us through his word. And he speaks them to us through nature. I think for all of you that find a hiking trail that's not traveled by everybody, you seem to grow closer to the Lord. You see the nature, and he speaks to us about his greatness, about his creativity, and even about his love. And then, I think all of us have experienced that God speaks to us through children. The putt-putt games were filled, and there was an older gentleman, looked like in his 70s. Yeah. That's old now. He was playing putt-putt with his little six-year-old grandson, and they came to the one that has the windmill. How many of y'all have ever played the putt-putt and tried to get the little ball through the windmill? And there was always the blades constantly moving. And the little boy, 17, 18, 19 times he tried, and each time he failed. He finally took the ball and walked over to the windmill. And when that blade was just right, he rolled it through, tapped the ball another time. With a Tiger Woods gesture, he reached down there and lifted that ball. He said, two! His grandpa said, son, are you sure that was a two? And he said, Papa, would you give me a two? And he said, yes. So we discovered something in this child's question. And we see another side of Jesus that we may not have seen before. He will cheat for you. When you deserved a two, when you didn't deserve to stand in the winner's circle, he said, he's a two. He forgot about all the times you hit it and failed. He forgot about all the times that you made that attempt. He will, on occasion, on our benefit, give us a two when the scorecard said we didn't make it. And so I say that to say this, that's how much he loves us. When you have not earned it, when I have not earned it, he gave his life that I might have life. When I deserved death, he gave me life Freedom instead of prison. Joy for all my pains, for all my hurts, for all my tears. And may I remind you of one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible? When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That, my precious friends, today is God's love. I cannot speak about God without speaking about love. You see, I've been a believer for a long, long time. I may have told you about Sister Holloway. She was our primary Sunday school teacher. I don't know the whole story, but I was reminiscing, I was thinking back this morning. She did not have much. It was a very small home that we pulled up in front of every Sunday morning to pick her up. And I remember her coming out. In one hand was her purse slung over her arm and a Bible. And then in this other arm was the flannel board. Does anybody remember a flannel board? And there was the bag of Jesus and Daniel and David and Noah, and there were the little figures of children that would be slapped on the flannel board showing that they had gathered around the feet of Jesus. You want to know who the first person was to tell me that God is love? It was that little lady that didn't have enough money to own a car that we picked up for church every Sunday, that she had spent her life or that week of her life preparing and praying over those words that she would share with little children. God is love. I guess she taught me more about God than 1,000 theologians that I have read since then. 6 decades later, here I stand. This is what I believe. And so because I believe that God is love and love is God, I refuse to drink the Kool-Aid that says God is out to get us. I would say that again, but I think you may have got it. No, I will say it again. I refuse to drink the what? That says God is out to get us. Simply put, after serving him all these years, I am more convinced today than any other Sunday of my life that God loves you and me. When we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. Can I tell you today, it's not that we loved him, but that he loved us. So much that he would give his life for you and for me. Is there anything I said today that you haven't already heard, that you didn't already know? But is it all right for me to talk about the King of Glory that would wrap himself in flesh, come and walk among us, stretch his hands across a cross, and have nails driven into them just to show to you and me and all mankind that he loves us? Not that we loved him. Can I tell you that he is both present on the mountaintop with us when things are going so good, and God's love is present on the worst days of our life. How comforting to feel hands that have scars in them holding us while the storms of life are raging. His love secures us from all the snares. Somebody needs to hear this right now. His love secures us from all the snares that the enemy has set to destroy you. His love not only saves us, but his love also keeps us. I've not always known that, but I'm so glad that the revelation, I'm so glad that the light was turned on. I'm so thankful for the grace of God that showed up and said, it's not about you, but it's all about me and my love for people. Everybody said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your love that is eternal, your love that is everlasting, your love that is unconditional. growing up in a pastor's home, let me tell you what my daddy did the last several years of his years with the state police. He was over several parishes of the auto theft. And so during the week, he was chasing people that stole cars. And he would come home shaking. He said, you wouldn't believe what I discovered today. Another story for another time. But on Friday afternoon, he parked everything, and on Saturday afternoon, he and me, he'd buy a big old box of Penny Candy, and we would go into the poorest part of Winfield, and that's about 90% of Winfield. People didn't have anything. And we just went around handing out Penny Candy, and we were inviting kids to come to Sunday school. We were inviting children to come and be with us that nobody else wanted. They may have smelled different. They may have looked different. They may have not have had the clothes that would have fit in at another church, but we were anxious. And my daddy went and spent $300 on an old bus. And he didn't have any chairs in it, didn't have any seats, so he built three church pews. Run one down each side and then one without a back down. And we could stuff about 40 or 45 children on that school bus. And we did it every Sunday morning. You know what we were telling them? We were telling them God loves you. And they got it again when Sister Holloway got a hold of them in her Sunday school class. And they got it again whenever somebody testified of the goodness and the faithfulness and the love of God that he has for us. One particular family. I'm not going to be here a long time. Their name was Holmes. Had about seven children. Craig was probably close to the oldest one. He would have been 11 or 12 whenever we found Craig. Craig had one leg that was shorter than the other because of polio. And he wore a shoe that had an extra heel on it, probably 4 or 5, maybe even 6 inches. Looking back, I know that he had to be ridiculed, mocked. I know bullying was around back whenever we were growing up, too. So there was not a lot of good stuff going on in Craig Holmes' life when we knocked on their door and they promised that they would be ready the next morning. We pulled that old bus up and I jumped out, ran and knocked on the door. Here come 5 kids. And here come Craig. On the way home, when we left church that day, Craig jumped right in behind my father. He did everything. He drove the bus. And so I saw Craig jump in that into the pew and right behind the driver, and he said, "Brother Bates." That's the only Brother Bates there is, by the way, my daddy. This is George. That's Kevin. "Would you take me home last?" And I was sitting close enough to hear it. Didn't think about it. Didn't think about it a lot until years later. I said, what kind of a home was he going home to? I would find out later that alcohol was probably the most important thing in that house because of his alcoholic father, Bill. "Take me home last." And I started thinking, oh, but to know the love of God. He had found something that Sunday morning that would change his life and give him hope and give him assurance for the remainder of his days. The good news is it wouldn't be long till Bill followed and Mama followed and the other siblings. And I, just to take a pig trail, on the night that we baptized Bill, my daddy had a good firm grip on him. He had come to Christ that night and he had experienced a wonderful, wonderful baptism. And he said, and so daddy announced, said, next Sunday we're going to baptize Bill. He said, no, we're not going to wait till next Sunday, Brother Bates. I want to be baptized tonight. Bill was about this big around. And daddy sent my brother Tom Paul to go get him a pair of breeches to be baptized in. And so they got him dressed, and the only way he could hold them breeches up was if he stuck his hands down in his pockets and just held them breeches. It was a very, very narrow, custom-made baptismal tank. and it was just about that wide. My daddy never lost anybody before then. And as he began to speak the words of following Christ in baptism, he put him under the water, and somehow or another, little Bill slipped out from my daddy's hands. His hands are in his pocket. He cannot get his arms wide enough where he can hold on and get up. I don't know how long Bill Holmes stayed in the bottom of the baptistry, but I do remember my daddy taking Tom Paul and throwing him over in there and saying, "Get Bill out." I might not should have taken that road. Tom Paul, boy, I mentioned his name two or three times. We went back there to Winfield for a funeral a couple years ago, and after the service was over with, we were standing there visiting with folks we hadn't seen in so many, many years. We'd gone to honor a sweet lady that had been a part of my father's church. And as I stood there, there was this guy that was in his 50s, come and said to me, "You don't remember me, do you?" And I said, as good as I am at remembering people's faces, right now I can't tell you what I had for breakfast. He said, "It's been 46 years since I've seen you." And he said, "My name is Craig Holmes." I hugged him. I hugged his children. I hugged his wife. I hugged his grandbabies. I said, "Wow." As we left the church lot that day, headed back to Winsboro, I told my brother, I said, "That's what the love of God will do in one person's life. Here's a piece of candy. Would you let us pick you up for Sunday school tomorrow? And could you allow us to tell you about the love of God?" And so now here I am this morning thinking about Craig, and I'm going to tell you, I guess that God is love worked for him at his, as it has worked for all of us. For God so loved the world. You may not have come today in a rickety bus. You may not be returning to a dysfunctional home that's full of chaos and cruelty and loneliness. You may have left a castle filled with every expensive toy, every imaginable luxury, all the comfort and opulence available to man. I don't know, there may be some person here today that's living a life, a privilege. But from whichever side of the tracks you may have come, it doesn't matter. What matters is this, that every one of us believing and receiving the love of God today one more time. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us came to such a place in this service, and we're closing in just a few moments as Landy comes. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us together would say in our heart, if not with our mouth, "God, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I need you." I want to give you a heads up, the love of God. Everybody say, the love of God. The love of God is surrounding us right now. The love of God is knocking on our heart's door saying, "Would you let me in? Would you let me change your life? Let me change your darkness to light. Let me turn your sadness and sorrow to joy." That's what the love of God will do in your life today. God so loved the world that he gave. I don't know why about 5 o'clock this morning I started humming a song. Yeah, it's just about time for some banana pudding. Get a little sugar flowing. There was this song. I'm not going to try to sing it. Mom and Daddy sang it. If you could own all the world and its money, build castles tall enough that reach the sky above. If you could know everything there was to know about life's gain, yet you've known nothing until you've known God and His love. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to a fallen man, lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you've known just how it feels to know that God is real, then you've known nothing until you've known the love of God. With our heads bowed for just a moment, if you're in this room today and you've heard it again, maybe today's the day that you'll open your heart to the love of God, that love that will transform you and make your life worth living, that will bring meaning to every day of your life. If you happen to be here and you've heard, "For God so loved the world," so many, many times before, yet today might be the day that you'd say, "Lord, I want to experience that. I want to know that." I'll go ahead and give you a heads up. You're not going to get out of this world without the hand and the hope of God. Oh, how He loves you and me. You may have come in here today with questions. You may have come in here today saying, "Does He really know? Does He really care? Does He really love?" Well, I'm telling you, based on the testimonies of a number of people, we can tell you that it's real and it's foreverlasting and it's unconditional. Almighty God, as we come to the end of this wonderful time together with You, we thank You for just simply reminding us of the greatest truth that has ever been declared, that You so loved the world not looking around, and it really doesn't matter if we would be or wouldn't be. I just feel like somebody today says in your heart, "Oh, how I want to feel the arms of the love of God around me." I would invite you to say, "God, here I am. Here I am." There's a song we're going to sing in closing. In fact, let's stand together. And we'll sing it now. It's the testimony of every person in this room. Every person in this room. Bye.